we're going to be thinking about a particular subject, or somebody in the meeting knows that already. Is that right? What the subject is, I was asked already what my subject was for tonight. And we're going to be thinking about the Passover. The Passover. Now, I don't know if you knew this, but the Passover takes place at the same time as Easter, more or less. And an interesting thing, I knew this from before, but I'd read it again just there through the week, that in actual fact, if you missed the Passover and you wanted to celebrate the Passover as it went on year after year, and you missed it for a good reason, then you could celebrate it a month later. That's good, isn't it? That'd be like Christmas. I don't know if anybody would like to celebrate Christmas a month later. Everybody else has had their Christmas on the 25th of December, and some of us who have, for some reason or another, we miss Christmas, and we have it on the 25th of January. I have a funny feeling it might be a kind of a damp squib, that, having Christmas at the wrong time of year. But anyway, there was a reason for that. For the Passover, we'd have been on the 17th of April this year. It would have been on the 17th of May, which is just coming up, or the 15th of May, something like that, just coming up shortly, this incoming week probably. The second Passover. Now, we're not going to read about the second Passover, but I just wanted to point out something particular. The people in that particular day and generation, the Israelites, there was something specific about the Passover that didn't want to miss it. They didn't want to miss it. Because it was such an important day in the history of the Jewish nation, they didn't want to miss the memory, the remembrance of the Passover. Now that really stuck in my mind, and I thought about that, and I really thought about something tonight. What if there had been a young Jewish person or an older Jewish person, and they had missed the first Passover? Where would they have been? What situation would they have been in? And we're going to read a little bit about that in Exodus chapter 12. So let's go to Exodus chapter 12. And it was strange, you know, this afternoon, wasn't it strange? We shouldn't think these things are strange, that Bert, when he was here, talked about the Lord Jesus Christ. And he talked about Jesus Christ, our Passover. Well, we're going to be thinking a wee bit about the Passover tonight, and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ on our behalf in the Passover. Just let's go over to verse 20 or 21. Let's see. Right, let's go to verse 21. And we're kind of breaking into the Passover a little bit here. But I think most people might know, and we'll go into a bit more detail, what the Passover was really like. And Moses called all of the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families, and kill the Passover. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike it on the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out of the at the door of the house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and upon the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door, and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. And ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and thy sons forever. God will bless the reading of his precious Holy Word. So I want to take you to this idea of the Passover then. It became an annual celebration, an annual feast in the history of Israel. Still goes on today. People still celebrate the Passover today in Israel and in different parts of the world. But you know, there's no coincidence in the fact that the Passover is the way it was, and the Lord Jesus Christ and his death at Calvary was the way it was. Because, as we've said already, the Lord Jesus Christ is our Passover. And so when we think about him, We think about him having dealt with the issues that are dealt with in this Passover, only to a vastly greater degree. And how marvellous it is to think what the Lord Jesus did at Calvary. So here's a sort of paraphrase of this wonderful day in the history of the nation of Israel. They had been slaves in Egypt. And that's not a coincidence either. And the Bible tells us that God was listening and God was looking down upon the nation at that time. And it says this, "I have heard their cries by reason of their taskmasters. I know their sorrows and I'm come down to deliver them." So God is in heaven and he's looking down on earth. And he sees what's happening. Now, I need to tell you something. God doesn't always act immediately he sees something happening in the world. God doesn't always respond to the cries of individuals immediately. Now, he does sometimes, but he doesn't always immediately. God waits his time. And the Bible tells us that over a period of time, these people in Egypt, the Israelites, had been crying to the Lord and they'd been looking for his help because of the taskmasters. Now the Bible, if you read the story, you'll find that they had to make bricks for the buildings and they were building great, presumably pyramids and things like that. They were building with the bricks that these people made in Egypt. And they weren't paid for it, obviously. They were slaves. And if they didn't work hard enough, they had taskmasters to beat them until they worked harder. Now, you know, we begin to realize over the years that beating people to try and make them work harder just only works for a short space of time, and then it doesn't work any longer. But then the Egyptians decided that they were going to make the bricks, but they needed straw to make bricks, but they weren't going to give them the straw. They were going to make the bricks without straw. And they beat them even harder until the point where God couldn't take it any longer, in a sense. Now, we know that God isn't pushed into things because of how we deal with things in this world. But God looked on his people and he saw their particular need. He said, "I hear their cries." And you know, I want to tell you something tonight in the meeting. That if you're crying to God, God can hear your cries. Don't bear any doubt about that. God can hear you in your heart of hearts, speaking and looking for his help. That's not to say, I'm saying already, that he answers immediately. But God can hear you. He says, "I have seen. I have seen what happens to them by reason of their taskmasters." And he says this, "I know their sorrows." I want to tell you something about God tonight. God knows the sorrows of your life. And it doesn't matter if there's not another soul in the world knows about these difficulties and problems and sorrows that you have in your life. The God of heaven knows your sorrows. One of the great things I understood as a child, that God is an all-knowing God. How marvelous it is, how comforting it is tonight to know that the God of heaven knows about our particular needs and he knows about our sorrows. And he hears our cries. And the scripture tells us this. And here's what he says. "And I'm come down to deliver them." How marvelous is that? That God, after he heard and after he saw, the God of heaven acted. And he came down to deliver his people. And as these people were going through this business of deliverance, the Pharaoh of the day, he was given some options to let them go. He was asked, "Will you let them go?" And he wouldn't let them go. And God sent plagues upon the land. And we'll not go into what all the plagues were, but there were some horrible plagues that came on the land over these months. And yet Pharaoh wouldn't let them go. And finally, God said this, "I'm going to take the firstborn of every house in Egypt." Now, I don't know if you're the firstborn in your house. But I'm thankful in a sense that I was the last born in our house. I was the youngest of all the family. But you know, if it had been me, if it had been our household, I was trying to think about that, you know, if it had been our household and they'd been in Egypt, and there I was, and the firstborn in our family was my sister Ruth. And I was thinking about a situation where the avenger was going to come. It's called, some scriptures it's called the angel of death, and sometimes it's called the avenger of blood. The avenger was going to come. And if there hadn't been any blood on the doorposts of my household, my big sister would have been taken. And that's how prominent that was in the minds of the people. Because here's what God says. I want you to take a lamb. And we think of wee things, wee cuddly lambs. We've been having lambs at the farm in recent times. And we think of them as wee cuddly things. And we see folks soaking them in a bottle and this kind of thing. And make them into pets and so and so on. But in actual fact, this was a lamb. And one thing I read the other day, it talked about a spring lamb. A spring lamb. And so this is the spring. You know, the lambs wouldn't have been that long born. This is the northern hemisphere, you know. And the sun rises and falls in the northern hemisphere, different from the southern hemisphere. And it depends where you are as to what length of day you have. And it depends on what length of day you have as to when the lambs are born. Now, you didn't know all of that, but that was what I learned when I was at college. It's all to do with melatonin in the brain of a sheep. Now, there you are, you're learning something tonight. And that's why the lambs are born at the certain times of the year that they're born, because of the lack of light in the autumn. There you are. Now, a spring lamb. It wasn't a long, wasn't a big lamb. I used to think, you know, of a lamb, that we sell lambs when they're, you know, months old. 6, 8 months old. And they're still called lambs, but they're big sheep by that time. But this wasn't a big sheep. This was a lamb. It might not have been very long born. And here, they had to take this lamb, and they had to kill it, and they had to put its blood into a basin, and they had to strike the blood on the lintel and on the door sides, the doorposts of the door, and they had to sit and wait. And they had to sit and wait on something happening. They had to sit and wait on the angel of death going through the land. Now, I want you to think about that for a moment or two. I want you to put yourself in the position that you're in a wee house in Egypt and you're waiting overnight for something to happen. And it really depends on one thing. It depends on the blood on the door of the house, whether everyone in that house will wake up the next morning safe and sound. And you're waiting. And they were to eat this lamb, to roast it with fire, says the scripture, and they're to eat it. And they were eating lamb, and they were waiting. I want to ask you a wee question. I wonder if they believed what God said. Now, it's a simple thing, isn't it? God said, this is what you should do. I want you to put this blood on the doorposts, and I want you to wait in your house. You're not even to go out of to the door. Once you put that blood on, you stay inside that house. And there they are. There's no telly to find out whether the news in Pharaoh's household and whether the cameras were on to tell whether what was happening outside. They were sitting in the house not knowing what was outside. And I wonder, can I ask you a quick question? Do you think they believed God? Now, you see, that's the important part of what we've got to say tonight. I'm not going to speak for very long. The important part of what we have to say tonight is this. These people had to believe God. They hadn't a choice. There they were. And if they hadn't put the door stuff on the doorposts, there was no chance. That's what the Bible says. The eldest in that household would be taken. I wonder if they believed God. I wonder what it was like, you know, if they went through all of the things that God said. Now, let's make sure that we've done everything right. You know, you can imagine the threat of death was upon them, you see. We need to grasp the importance of this little event. And in the history of the world, and all of the nations round about, and the people of Egypt didn't even pay any attention to it. It was just the little households of the Jews. These Israelites. They were the only people that were paying any attention to this. And I wonder if they were going through their wee checklist and say, we were to keep that lamb for 14 days, wasn't it? And we were to look at it every day, and we were to check it, and we were to make sure that there was no blemish in it. I wonder if that, are we sure about the lamb? And are we sure that we've carried this out according to God's plan? And we go through their checklist. And as they sat there that night, and the blood was on the doorpost and on the lintel, they were what the Bible tells them, what we were maybe singing about, they were depending on the blood. Depending upon it. Not only that, they were depending upon God sticking to his word. And believing what God said was true. I wonder, can I ask you a quick question tonight? In your heart of hearts, do you believe what God says is true? Now that's important. You see, it's not just enough for us to say, well, you know, that we believe there's a God. And maybe even we believe there's a God in heaven. And that's all true. But it's not enough. Because these people that day, they had to believe not only that there was a God in heaven, but they had to believe that what he said was absolutely dependable. I wonder, can I ask you tonight, do you believe what God says is dependable? Well, here's what God says. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. Do you believe that? In other words, without the shedding of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary, there is no way that you can be saved. Oh, now, we were listening this afternoon to the business about the resurrection, and we believe that. The Bible talks about the resurrection, that the Lord Jesus Christ, he rose from the dead, physically rose from the dead. And he arose and he ascended into heaven. And if that didn't take place, says Bert says this afternoon in the scriptures, he read it, we're of all men most miserable. There's no hope for us. But I need to tell you this evening, there is no hope for you. There is no hope for your salvation except the shedding of the blood of the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, this Lamb that we're talking about in the Old Testament scriptures points forward, and we were saying earlier that it's not a coincidence that God should use these terms in the Old Testament and speak about the Lord Jesus Christ in the same terms. Says the scripture, says John the Baptist, when he saw the Lord Jesus, "Behold the Lamb of God, the bearer away of the sin of the world." Now, think about these people in the day of the Passover. It was one thing to have a lamb. It was another thing to shed the lamb's blood, to kill it and to take its blood. And you might say to yourself, well, the lamb's dead, the blood's shed, that's enough. We can stop at that. We don't need to do any more than that. I want to say to you tonight, if these people in Egypt all these thousands of years ago had stopped there, every one of their firstborn would have died through the night. Every single one. Just like the people in Egypt, the avenger would have come and he would have taken the firstborn from every house. I need to say to you tonight, they had to apply the blood. They had to take what God said at his word, and without any changes to what God said, they had to take that blood and they had to put it on the door. And if they hadn't done that, there would have been no hope. We have to apply the blood. And it may well be tonight that in the meeting, you're depending on blood that was shed. You're depending on a lamb that has died at Calvary's cross. But you're not willing to apply the blood. You're not willing to take God at his word. You're not willing to take the thing the whole way. It's important that we apply the blood in our lives, that we take what God has said and we accept it absolutely in all of its way and accept his Son as our Savior. Remarkable that God should send his Son into the world. Remarkable that God should take that one who was absolutely his darling and give him up for us down here below in this world. But you know, God sees in this world a needy people, just like he saw back these days so long ago in the land of Egypt. He saw them in slavery under Pharaoh, but he sees you and me in slavery to sin and to Satan. And so the need is just as, in fact, the need is greater. Because God could deliver these people out of the land all these years ago by the shedding of the blood of a number of lambs, one for a household. You'll notice every single household had to have a lamb. And you could share it with your neighbor, but they all had to be in the same house. And the blood applied to the door. But you know, the Lord Jesus, when he shed his blood at Calvary, he shed it for the world. There's nothing wrong with the blood of the Lord Jesus in that it'll never be enough, you might think. How could it be enough? One man's blood, how could that be enough? The hymn writer puts it, there's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean will be washed in the blood of the Lamb. The efficacy, we'll call it, that's a big word. The ability of God's, the Lord Jesus' blood to do its job is never diminished by the amount of people it requires to cover. You know, if I had a wee bottle of blood here and I had said, right, okay, what I need to do is I need to put a wee drop on top of everybody's head. Wouldn't it be a kind of horrible thing to do? But let's suppose we decided that was how we're going to deal with it. I'm going to put a wee drop in everybody's. Eventually, the bottle of blood would run out. You know, folk would be queuing up at the door thinking, this is the great, we'll get this dealt with. Our sins will be dealt with. One wee drop of blood on our head and that'll be it dealt with. Eventually, my wee bottle of blood would run out. But that's not the case with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is able to cover every sin and every person's sin. There's not a soul in the meeting tonight, and there's not a soul in the world tonight, whether we all come together at one time, that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is not able to deal with. And so the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, says the scripture, cleanses us from all sin. How remarkable that is. So the people were in bondage, and you and I are in bondage to our sin. I wonder if these people ever thought that something else might have done. You know, we haven't got a lamb. Well, you know, there was other times in the scripture when other things would have done for a sacrifice, because God said, you know, some people had to take a bullock, and other people had to take a heifer, and other people had to take a lamb, and other people had to take a turtle dove, and it was to do with what you could afford, but not on this occasion. On this occasion, it had to be a lamb. And tonight we need to say to you, you know, you might look round about and say, well, maybe there's some other way that I can deal with this rather than the Lord Jesus. Well, there is no other way. We heard about it, didn't we, when we sang these hymns at Easter time. There was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. There is no other person. There is no other way through to God in our sin. And so God provides a way of escape. He provided a way of escape from these people. And as the angel of death went through the land, they sat in their houses and believed God and believed in the security they found under the blood of the Lamb. I wonder if I can ask you a question tonight. Are you willing to believe God? I want to ask you another question tonight. What would you do if you missed out on the Passover? What would you do if you missed out on the Passover? Well, when it came to the celebration of the Passover in the years to come and the remembering of the Passover in the years to come, well, you could do it a month later if there were a real reason for it. Now, you couldn't just make up a reason. You had to have a good reason. One of the reasons that was given in the scripture, if the man had been defiled by touching a dead body, you know, maybe his father had died and he had to bury his father. Well, if he was defiled because of that, he couldn't have the Passover. That was one of the rules about the Passover and dealing with it as the years went on, celebrating it again. So you could do that, but when it comes to this particular time, the first time when the Passover actually took place, you couldn't say, by the way, I'll just stay in Egypt for another month. I'll get it sorted out next month. That didn't exist. There was only one opportunity. I need to say to you tonight, when God speaks to you, and God speaks to you in your heart, you take that opportunity. Because one thing we cannot guarantee, and there is never a guarantee in Scripture, that when God speaks to you, you'll know it's the last time. I remember hearing a story, I'm going to finish with this, about an occasion during the Second World War when the troops were coming out of a particular city, and the German troops were coming behind them quite fast. So they were in retreat. And as they were retreating, one of the great big fuel tankers broke down at the roadside. And the sergeant said, get that into the side of the road and let the rest of the vehicles pass. And one of his men said, look, if we leave this fuel truck lying at the side of the road, the Germans are going to use up all of this fuel. They're going to get the benefit of it. He says, good idea. He says, every truck that comes past, fill it up. Put as much fuel into each truck as they come past. The Land Rovers, the lorries, the tanks, anything that comes past this way, you make sure you fill it up. And there was a great queue of traffic getting filled up with fuel as it was going past to use up all this fuel. And gradually, you know, the numbers of trucks that were coming were slowing up, and there was less and less trucks coming. And the guy in the lorry said, what do I do when there's no more trucks? And the sergeant says, you get on the last truck. Just you get on the last truck, come with it. And so he saw a lorry in the distance, said, I'll wait for this one coming. This will maybe be the last truck. And he would put some fuel in it. And just as that one was ready to go away, he could hear the noise of another truck in the distance, and he said, oh, there's another one coming, I'll wait for that, that'll be the last truck. And gradually, he was getting to the stage, he didn't know when the last truck was coming down the road. Which one will I get on? When's my last opportunity? I want to say to you tonight, it can be like that when we want to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour. We say, well, we'll maybe get another opportunity. We'll maybe wait for another truck. Maybe we'll get another chance later on. I want to say to you tonight, if we take the statements of the Passover, these people never had another opportunity. If they had missed that opportunity, it would have been too late. Don't miss the last opportunity that God gives you. I want to say to you tonight, the last opportunity God gives you may well be the first opportunity he gives you. It's not something we can let drift. If you take the importance, you just think of the situation. You just think of these people sitting in that household waiting for the morning. How many of them would have taken the chance of not putting the blood on the door? How many of them would have taken the chance of going out the door too early? How many of them would have taken the chance of not bothering about the whole thing? Just letting it drift past. Doesn't it really matter? God will not deal with me in the way that he said he would. You know, God's always just according to his word. What he says he will do. It's important tonight that each one of us doesn't miss our Passover, our Lord Jesus Christ. Before it's forever too late, accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Saviour. Shall we pray?